You're listening to a podcast from Streams Church in the West Valley of Phoenix, Arizona. For more audio and visual content, visit streamschurch.org.
Shannon had Nehemiah at the beginning of chapter 5 last week. And we are in the seventh installment in the book of Nehemiah of about 15 weeks. We're about halfway done. But we're going to cover the whole book of Nehemiah. And I love Nehemiah. Nehemiah has a passion. He got a passion from the Lord to build the city of God, the city of Jerusalem, after it had been in ruins. And we see the book of Nehemiah very simply is this. It's a vision to build something great, to restore something broken, and to leave a lasting legacy. So no matter where you're at sitting here today, perhaps you're starting out a new family, you want to build something great. Nehemiah is the book for you. Perhaps you've been down the road a little bit, hit some bumps, you want to restore something that's been broken. Nehemiah is the book for you. If you're my age or a little more seasoned, you got grandchildren, you want to leave a lasting legacy, guess what? The book of Nehemiah is for you. So everybody says what? The book of Nehemiah is for me, right? Yeah. Okay, good. The beginning of chapter 5, Nehemiah loses a little bit of the vision. And actually, he and some of the leaders begin to take advantage of the poor. It's a huge internal problem they have, to the point where children were becoming enslaved. And Nehemiah even gets caught up in this. And the sad point is, they were building a wall so that people could return to Jerusalem and be in a safe environment. People could be set free from slavery, and that they could worship and make God's name great again. And so in the middle of building something great, they lost their original purpose. And Nehemiah repents, and then the people repent, they confess their sin, they stop pillaging their own people, and they restore all the things that have been stolen. So he makes a reconciliation with that. And the truth of the matter is, sometimes we can be sidetracked, trying to build something great, trying to restore something broken, trying to leave a lasting legacy, whether it's your family, your marriage, your business, a church, to keep the vision pure. We can be sidetracked from that. And so today we're going to learn, if you want to stay on point, if you want to do something great, leadership takes sacrifice. Great leaders make sacrifices. Leaders set the example. John Maxwell said this, regardless of the type of sacrifice, every leader must be willing to make sacrifices because leaders are expected to pay the prices that others won't pay. That's what makes you a leader. But it's not just about making hard decisions. Good leaders make hard decisions when they need to be made. So we're going to take on the rest of chapter 5, starting with verse 14. Usually I read a couple scriptures, but we're going to read the rest of chapter 5 today, and then we'll make comments afterwards. Verse 14, moreover, from the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when I was appointed to be their governor in the land of Judah until his 32nd year, for 12 years, how long it lasted, neither I nor my brothers ate the food allotted to the governor. But the early governors, those preceding me, placed a heavy burden on the people and took 40 shekels of silver from them in addition to the food and wine. Their assistants also lorded it over the people. Here's the phrase, but out of reverence for God, I did not act like that. Instead, I devoted myself to the work on this wall. All my men were assembled there for the work we did not acquire any land. Furthermore, 150 Jews and officials ate at my table, as well as those who came to us from the surrounding nations. Each day, one ox, six choice sheep, and some poultry were prepared for me, and every 10 days, an abundant supply of wine and all kinds. In spite of all this, I never demanded the food allotted to the governor because the demands were heavy on these people. And here's his prayer. Remember me with favor, my God, for all that I've done for these people. What we learn from here and from history is this, is that Nehemiah had a legal right and a historic precedent to make himself wealthy for his own personal gain. That when he became governor, he could make himself affluent, have a large expense account. That was the normal practice of governors. In fact, it was a common scam of the new governors. And what they would do is they'd come into a land, they would put a heavy, heavy tax on the people, so much that the whole economy went into depression. At that point, they would buy land on pennies of the dollar, begin to build infrastructure from all the money that they'd raised. The land would turn around, and when it turned around, they would sell their land again to make a big profit. And that was the scam. And he's saying, those governors that came before me, that's how they treated you. But I've decided not to do that. Not only that, he had the legal right. The king had allowed him to tax the people, to tax wine and food from the people, and get the king's allocation. So the king gave him food as a portion of being like. So because he was in a very poor economic crisis, and they're working hard to build the wall, Nehemiah said, in light of that, I've decided to lead you with integrity and sacrifice. Even though he had the right to take a big old fat salary, he didn't for 12 years. No one would have questioned if he did. He had the right to get food and wine from the king. It was his per diem, but he didn't for the sake of the people. In America, we love our rights, don't we? I mean, we're all about the rights, the right to a free speech. But just because you have the right to do something doesn't mean you have the license to do it, or it's not the prudent thing to do. We have the right to free speech, but we don't yell fire in a movie theater. You're not allowed to do that. There are things that we can't do with our rights. Great leadership understands that there are times when your personal interests collide with the needs of the mission. And if you want to be a great leader, you have to accept the fact that you will be the one in those situations to make the sacrifices. And I'm pretty sure everyone sitting here today is a leader of some sort, whether it's in your business, whether it's in your work, whether it's your family, whether it's your children. We all have leadership positions that we have to take. And so if we're going to be great leaders, we have to learn that to be a great leader is sacrifice. Husband and wife, times when you need to make sacrifices because your needs in a marriage conflict with going forward and making a healthy marriage. Are you willing to make those sacrifices so the mission of unity in your marriage is accomplished? This willingness will determine whether or not your marriage will be strong. Parents give up their rights the moment their baby is born. The right to sleep, you give up that right. The right to have that cool car. When we had children, we had two children. They're grown now and they're out of the house. We had two children. We got to that stage where I bought a white Chrysler minivan. There's not many out there, but I had one. I mean, you remember the white Chrysler minivans. That was, you can tell you when I had children. And I tell you what, every time I opened that door, a part of my manhood was going away. I just felt it. There goes my manhood. There goes my manhood. So we had this period of time in our family when it died, I went out and bought another white Chrysler minivan. And there was this period of time. Well, our kids got into junior high and high school and our minivan died. And so I was out looking for another minivan. And my wife said, "What are you doing that for?" I go, "Well, that's what we do." And I'm not a man anymore, so I drive. That's why. No. And she said, "What do you want?" I go, "What do I want? Come again?" She goes, "Yeah, you can get what you want now. The kids are older. It's okay." And I'm like, "Wow." And I bought a red Bronco. How many people were around during the red Bronco days? Amen. Yeah, Clifford, the big red truck. That's what we called it. Yeah. I had me a man. And that lasted until we got grandkids. And then we had to buy a vehicle that they all could fit in for the 2 weeks of the year that they came. How many grandparents know what I'm talking about? Now so I'm in a Nissan Pathfinder, which is a little cooler than a white minivan. But anyway, great parent sacrifice. You want to sleep? 4 a.m. Baby needs a diaper change. Guess who wins? You want a Bronco? Fourth grader needs braces. Guess who wins? And we have to answer the question, are you willing to make the sacrifice for the needs of your children and your own needs, for the mission of a healthy family? When we were younger, this was over 30 years ago, 30 years ago, when we had our first child, Judy was making a lot more money than I was. She was a banquet supervisor at Camelback Inn. I was a youth pastor at a church. She was making probably twice the money I was. But it's just the choice we made. We realize now that a lot of times people can't make this choice. This was 30 years ago. But we made the choice that she was going to stay home, that we're going to make that sacrifice we thought would help our children along the pathway. So we cut back financially. That we decided to make that sacrifice for our family, for our girls, and hopefully someday they're going to return the favor. I mean, I changed their diapers, and someday they'll change mine. So, you're like, that's a bad mental picture. Why did you go down there? So anyway, you guys can let them know when they visit, okay? Okay, everybody get out of their system, all right? It's the same in ministry. Leaders have to make sacrifices for the people over themselves. And sometimes people push against Christianity because they see just the opposite happen. But really, if we're going to follow the example of Jesus Christ, we have to make the sacrifice. And we get paid in October, which is Pastor Appreciation Month. And you might want to mark that in your calendars. The same in business world. If you're going to be a great leader in business, you're the one that has to make the sacrifices. for your employees to get your business to that place. Leadership makes sacrifices so that the mission is accomplished. And Nehemiah made some incredible sacrifices. Listen to what he did. He did not eat the food that was allocated to the governor. He was given a per diem from the king. Here's all the food so he could live a great life. But he said, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to share what God has given me because I understand where the people are at. He didn't put a heavy tax on the people because they were working hard. They were building the wall. They were giving already. So he didn't put that on them. He literally participated in the building of the wall. He got down with the people. His hands got dirty. In fact, not only that, he made all his leaders join in the building of the wall, arm in arm, side by side. He used the food and the wine that was given to him to feed 150 people. And not only his people, and not only the leaders, but he also brought in foreigners in the land. He brought them to the table, people from other nations that happened to be coming to Jerusalem, and he blessed them and he fed them. This is what he did. These are the sacrifices he made. Gerald Brooks says this, when you become a leader, you lose the right to think about yourself. Nehemiah, think about it. He foregoes his salary and works for free for 12 years. He pays all his expenses out of his own pocket. That'd be hard to do today. I don't know how many of us would do that, but Nehemiah was willing to sacrifice his needs for the needs of the people and the mission at hand. None of us would have judged Nehemiah for taking salary. None of us would have judged him for reimbursing his expenses or taking what the king had given him. Nobody would have thought less of his leadership if you read that in the Bible. But he chose to go beyond the call of duty. The other thing is Nehemiah refuses to exalt himself above the status of the people that he leads. He's there working with them. He understood Philippians chapter 2 before Paul preached it. This is a scripture. I'm going to read it today, but I, for the most part, have memorized because it's been a mantra many times in my ministry. I just had to quote it and let it get into my heart and my spirit. Philippians 2:5 says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing. One scripture says he became of no report. In other words, he just didn't care about his reputation. By taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. And the greatest example is Jesus Christ, who gave up heaven, gave up the authority he had in heaven, and came down this earth and made himself nothing. Didn't care about his reputation, so that he could serve mankind, that he could die for our sins. John Maxwell says again, as you grow in leadership responsibly, as it increases, your rights decrease. And this is Jesus' example. And this is how, listen, we're supposed to treat one another. The same spirit that Jesus gave towards us is how we're supposed to love each other. There's a great story about Moravian missionaries. The Moravian missionaries are famous for preaching the gospel around the world, a movement that happened. And this is some 250 years ago. Two young Moravian men heard of an island in the West Indies, which was virtually owned by one plantation master. He was a violent man who's treated his slaves with complete contempt. He would not allow them to know anything about Christ. No minister was permitted to come and started a church among them. So these two young Moravian men, gripped with a burden for these people who might never hear about the love of Jesus, sold themselves into slavery to this man, this plantation master. The money they received, they used for their passage to get to the island. They gave up their lives to go and live among a community so they could bring them the gospel. And their families came to the dock and gave their farewells, and mothers were crying. And this is the last words they heard from these men. May the lamb that was slain receive the reward of his suffering. And after that, 2,100 people, Moravians, went overseas to become missionaries throughout the years. They understood that the Lamb gave up his life to be slain and that we were the reward of what he gave up. We see that following up in Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 9. Therefore God exalted him after he's humbled himself, death on the cross. God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I think these two go together. If we humble ourselves in our relationships, if we're willing to sacrifice and have this mindset and love one another, guess what? There's a natural connection to the love of Jesus Christ, that He is King and He is Lord. The reward is this, that everyone would know. Why do we do it? Why do we humble ourselves? Why do we make the sacrifice as a leader? Because we get to participate in lives that are changed. We get to see heaven come to people who've been living in hell. Slaves set free. Walls of protection built around families. God's name becoming great. Nehemiah does this because he gets to partake in the salvation of people and build a safe place for his people where again the Lord will be worshipped. He said, I devoted myself to the work of this wall. It's my vision. It's my driving force. My heartfelt passion. And therefore, I can make sacrifices. And here's what impresses me most about him. It was 12 years that he did this. It wasn't just a moment. I have learned in life that long obedience in the right direction is the key to success. Long obedience in the right direction. That's a key. It was a comment in the denomination that I served for years. Sort of a joke, that every 3 years they switch churches. And there were several reasons why it was good to switch churches. One reason is you can recycle sermons. I mean, I come up with 3 years of pretty good sermons, you know what I mean? And so your illustrations were new, and I mean, I've been here for 12 years, think about that. And I've given up all my... No, I haven't. But anyway, yeah, you know, it's hard being this fresh every week, just so you know. I'm a living personal illustration. God just brings all these weird things in my life. So I have things to share with you. I say this all the time. I don't know why I say it. Before I start a story, I go, true story. And I go into the story. And my wife said one day, why do you keep saying true story? Do you tell false stories? I go, no, they're just, well, I don't know. Maybe I embellish a little bit, but they're just hard to believe. So I say that. So I'm going to try to stop saying true story, okay? Because life for me becomes a sermon illustration. It's a lot easier not to live life with people. And in fact, one of the reasons is you don't have to be known. You can't really be known in a couple years with people when you live life with them. But the longer you go, the more you know. And there's pastors that I know that really fear being transparent. I don't fear being transparent. How many of you have realized that by now? If you've been here long enough, yeah. I just let you see my life. I think it's the way that we all can come together to know how to follow Jesus as we do it together on our journey. I knew a pastor once. True story. I started to say that and I stopped myself and I thought I should say it anyway. He literally had a suit coat hanging by his front door. So if somebody came by, even if he's in pajamas, he would put his suit coat on so he'd look like a pastor. I was at Lowe's yesterday and cut off jeans with holes in them with a tank top, sweaty with my hat on. And somebody walked in who knew me and I go, hey, and they're like, oh, yeah, Pastor, I don't know you in that outfit. I know you differently Sunday morning. If you see me rocking around, I'm going to be pretty scruffy, okay? I'm just so you know that. Statistically, they say a pastor doesn't really reap the fruit of his ministry until 7 to 12 years into it. My life, my marriage, my children, my ministry, I really believe it's all about long obedience in the right direction. Constantly obeying, constantly obeying. You're saying, well, you know, we're in a season that's a little rough right now. I'm just telling you, right? Long obedience in the right direction will always turn anything around. I really believe with all my heart. You stay the course. Yes. Nehemiah stayed the course. And because of that, the job was done. Has great benefits. Why did he do it? Well, he understood that he was accountable to God for his leadership. He says in verse 15, out of reverence for God, I didn't act like that. And there's all kinds of reasons he could have been motivated, but the one that just stuck out is out of reverence, out of respect for God. Because I know what he's given me. I know the place that he's put me. I know the calling he's put on me. So out of respect for God, I didn't treat the people that way. Because I want his name to be great. I want to represent him well. So out of that respect, that's why I did what I did. He understood in Romans chapter 14 and 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says that we're going to stand one day and give an account for what we've been given. And it has nothing to do with salvation or judgment about whether you have grace or not. That's free. It has to do with, we understand from the scripture that God has given us all abilities and gifts. And we're responsible to use them for his kingdom, to love other people. And I believe it. It's not fear, it's respect. It's taking God serious. It's not about you and me, it's about me and him. And because of that, I love. And I give. And I sacrifice. He understands too the principle of God's blessing to the faithful. This is what he prayed. I love this prayer. Now remember, this is just an intimate prayer between him and God. This is his journal he's writing in. This wasn't meant for public, but he came. So he writes this to God, "Remember me with favor, my God, for all I've done for these people." And it's just a personal request of God saying, you know, I've given all this. Would you just please remember me in this situation? I love that prayer. I think it's honest. I think it's good. So I'm going to have the worship team come forward. And as they do this, I want to read this because as I was thinking and praying about today's message, I sort of got a strong word, I think, was for some people here. I sense that there are people here that would be frustrated about leadership. You feel like you're leading, but you're frustrated because maybe there's not the respect there that you think you deserve, or there's not the people following that you thought there would be. Whether it's family or marriage or job or life or ministry, whatever. And I just want to say this. I feel like this is what the Lord said. The problem is not their willingness to follow. The problem is they don't genuinely believe you're willing to make sacrifices needed to lead. And your family, your marriage, your career, Nehemiah tells us this. It's about two different types of leadership styles. That's what Nehemiah 5 is all about. Authoritative leadership and servant leadership. People follow servant leadership out of love and respect. And if that's what you're desiring, you can't be authoritative to get that. And when you get to the place where there's an understanding that you're willing to lay down your life for your family, for your marriage, for whatever you're going through that you're leading, people will follow you. And that's what I'm going to share with you, that the frustration is that they haven't understood that yet. And so allow them to do that and give you the courage. Nelson Mandela said this, "It's better to leave from behind and put others in front, especially when you celebrate victory when nice things occur. You take the front line when there is danger, then people will appreciate your leadership." It's not being more demanding, it's about being more dependable and reliable. So if you'll stand, let me pray for you. In some way, some place in your life, whether it's today or in the future, you will be leading something. It might be a family. It may be a job thing. This is an incredible example of what it means to be a great leader. So I pray, Lord Jesus, in your name, that you'd give us courage to really sacrifice, to take the lead in giving up our lives when we need to and laying them down for the good of other people. We believe with all our heart that you're faithful to that. You will take us down the pathways we need to go. We're willing to make that. Give us the strength, God, to stay the course for long obedience in the right direction. Let us stand firm. We give you our hearts, our lives, and everything that belongs to us for your kingdom and for your use. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been a podcast from Streams Church in the West Valley of Phoenix, Arizona. For more information, visit streamschurch.org.